Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Everybody's favorite player, Corey Perry, has scored for the Montreal Canadiens, who lead the Ottawa Senators 3-0 with 13 minutes to go in the third. After one, Hurricanes up 1-0 in Chicago. Early second period, Stars and Predators tied 1-1. Early in the third, Blue Jackets and Lightning 1-1. Red Wings and Panthers 1-1. 17 minutes to go, Islanders with a 6-4 cushion on the Capitals. 10 minutes to go in Buffalo. Oh, no. Sabres are behind. 2-1 for the Rangers. Rangers out shooting Buffalo 38-17. Buffalo did score first in that game. And the Penguins lead Boston 2-0 with 14 and a half minutes to go in the third. Blue Jays won their opener in 10 innings, 3-2 over the New York Yankees. The Oilers game on Saturday against the Canucks has been postponed. We do not know when it will be made up. We do know there's a Battle of Alberta tomorrow. The face-off show is at 5:30. The game is at 7 here on 6:30 CHED. And we also know the Oilers have had the edge in the Battle of Alberta this season. And we also know that the other half of the battle, they're not looking good. They're not looking good. My preseason pick, Pat Steinberg, to finish first in the North Division. Now, why would I do something so foolish? A, because I didn't want to pick the Leafs because I'm a jerk and I didn't want to do what everybody else was doing. And so I have a bit of a troll in me, even though I try to be nice. I'm like, I'm not picking Toronto. And B, I actually thought Calgary would be good because I thought if everybody stumbles out of the gate because there's no preseason, maybe goalies are going to win you a bunch of games. And they signed Jacob Markstrom. Well, I'm dumb.
Well, happy birthday, Reed.
Thanks.
You big dummy. And you also couldn't choose the Oilers because then you're like the typical, you know, host of the team that's choosing the team that you cover to win the division. So you couldn't do that either. So yeah, you were kind of left with Calgary or Winnipeg. Realistically, I guess you could have gone Montreal. So I had my four playoff teams, I believe, were Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary were the four playoff teams that I had. I think I had Toronto winning the division, but I had Winnipeg, Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton as my four playoff teams, I think. And the way it's gone for Calgary, look, I did not look at Calgary as a Stanley Cup contender. I did not look at the Flames as an elite team. And I looked at them very much as a group that whatever happens, you had two outcomes. You couldn't miss the playoffs, which it looks like they're going to. That's just a complete straight up unmitigated failure. So you couldn't miss the playoffs. And then the other outcome was you better make the playoffs, but we're not really going to trust in this group or evaluate this group until they get to the playoffs and see if the guys that haven't elevated their games in playoff rounds past were going to be able to do so. Well, we're not going to get to that opportunity, it doesn't look like, and it looks like the unmitigated failure that we were talking about is 19 games away from coming true. So it's been a frustrating year for Flames fans. It's been a year where a significant amount of their top players have all missed the bar, have all fallen short of what, not just what they were expected to do, but what the bare minimum of what they needed to do for this team to be successful. Like, you take a look at what the Oilers' best players are doing, you know, if you want to compare the team in your market and the teams that are going to play tomorrow, well, okay, has everybody lived up to their billing yet? Well, maybe not, but Has McDavid pulled his share of the weight? Yeah. Has Drysdale pulled his share of the weight? Yeah. You know, some people have been riding Nugent Hopkins. Well, maybe he's been the one that hasn't gotten where a lot of people hoped he would. But then you've got Tyson Berry, and he stepped up to the plate, and he's been a nice addition on the power play. And Puljujarvi has been a nice addition to the top six, top nine forwards. And Mike Smith has pulled his weight, and then some in between the pipes. So, you know, the players that you were hoping, the top players that you were hoping to drive the bus in Edmonton, for the most part, have done that. Well, down here, Matthew Tkachuk's been an absolute disappointment. And Sean Monahan has scored three times in 34 games at 5-on-5. And Johnny Gaudreau has been way below what he needs to be. And Jacob Markstrom, after being a great success story through the first 20 games, he's now an .890 goalie over his last 10, 11 starts. And Mark Giordano looks like he's a 37-year-old, soon-to-be 38-year-old defenseman. And Rasmus Anderson's taken a step back. So, for the most part, Calgary's best players have not been their best players, and Calgary's best players have not driven the bus the way that they need to. And with Montreal leading Ottawa, it's going to soon be 6 points with four fewer games played. The gap from Calgary to Montreal, it just keeps on looking worse. And you can tell me all you want about the five head-to-head games Calgary and Montreal still have. And I guess if you are a, kind of tried and true glass half full optimist as a Flames fan, then you're looking forward to those five games they play later this month. But the reality is it's next to impossible for Calgary being a playoff team this year. And that's a failure. I can't put it any other way than that is a failure for this team.
The coaching change had a brief impact early. If you look at the results and the points percentage, it really hasn't had an impact. But has there been an impact where you say, okay, well, they're actually playing better or working harder or paying more attention to detail under Daryl Sutter? Have you seen anything like that?
Yes, I do think there have been small steps forward. I think that their team game is better. I think that they have done a much better job of limiting quality scoring opportunities. It's now 11 games that Daryl Sutter has coached, and they're 5-6 in those games. So they've actually they got a coaching bump, and now they've they went 4-1 to start, and now they're 1-5 since that time. So it has not been a great run specifically lately. And so, yes, I do think there has been progress. I think that they are better defensively as a team. I think that they are a little bit more simple and direct with their approach. But the problem is that, you know, you're seeing that from a lot of guys, and you're seeing kind of the team mentality be like that. But a few things have dropped off. Jacob Markstrom's not making saves. Right now, Jacob Markstrom is allowing goals on high-quality scoring opportunities that you paid him to make stops on. I'm not saying there's been a lot of bad goals. It's not like Markstrom's letting in a lot of shots from the corner or shots uncontested shots from the points or half-boards or anything like that. A lot of the goals that are being scored on him are all coming from the house area, are all coming from close in, but they paid him $6 million a year to be one of the best goalies in the NHL. They paid him $6 million a year to not allow Chris Tierney to score goals from the slot in a 1-1 game late in the third period against the worst team in the division. So Markstrom isn't making the saves that he was making earlier in the season. And while the team game has taken steps forward, you're still not getting the best players doing what they need to do. Matthew Tkachuk still looks lost, and Sean Monahan is still an ineffective 5-on-5 player, and Johnny Gaudreau is not handling kind of Daryl Sutter preached hockey very well right now. So when you're and Mark Giordano is still struggling to be a consistent top four NHL defenseman. So while I do think there is progress here, I don't think that we've seen enough progress for it to make a difference for this season. And that's okay from my standpoint. At the very least, I think you can accept that, because I don't think Daryl Sutter was brought in just for this year. I think he was brought in for the bigger picture. And I think he was brought in to really underline for management and ownership who they can go forward with and who they can't go forward with under a coach that is thought to be one of the better coaches of the last couple decades in this league. And I think that when inevitably this team makes the playoff, this is the playoffs rather this year, I think that we're going to see significant changes in the offseason. I doubt we'll see them before next Monday, but I do think come the offseason, you're going to see the kind of the significant franchise-altering moves that people in this city have been talking about for the last two off seasons. I think you're going to see them this summer because of how this season and the last few trips to the playoffs have gone.
Yeah, that could be a story to watch. Pat Steinberg joining us from Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. He's the host of the Flames broadcasts on that station. And yeah, I was going to ask you about are there some big pieces that might have to be moved out in the offseason? So that's you kind of summed it up. And I know whenever I talk about, you know, writing a team off from out of the playoffs, I know, and I can hear the thoughts of people out there. Well, what if they do this? What if this? And you and I both look at the site, Stoff reference it, sportsclubstats.com, and you can look at the percentage chance of a team making the playoffs. And Calgary's at 1.7. And the cool thing is that you can hover your mouse over the percentage, and it tells you all the possible records in their millions of simulations that got the Flames into the playoffs. And it's like, this is why it's so tough and why falling behind is so tough. It's possible. It is actually possible for the Flames to go 19-0 and miss the playoffs. It's possible. Like that's how hard it is when you fall behind. Like basically they're going to have to go 13-5-1. And even that's about a 1% chance of getting in. That's how hard it is to come back in the NHL.
Well, going into their game last week, I think, I don't know, days blend together, but their last road trip, they went into Toronto and they won one and lost one against the Maple Leafs. They came out of that loss against the Maple Leafs, went into Ottawa, lost to the Senators again. Well, your team has just ran tractors over the Ottawa Senators this year. The Flames, they can't beat them. They've lost 5-7 against Ottawa this year. And so they had a 142-minute goalless drought. Johnny Gaudreau ties the game with about 5 minutes remaining to snap that drought. And then 2.5 minutes later, Chris Tierney scoring to make it 2-1 Ottawa, and they lose again to the Senators. So coming out of that game, Mark Giordano talked to the media and said, "We got to go 16-7. Well, since that time, they've won once. They lost again to the Senators, and they lost 2-3 to Winnipeg. So you go from 16-7 to 15-4 is what they got to go, and even then that might not get them in. So they're in an almost impossible spot. And here's the thing. I mean, I still get the feeling that this general manager is and this management group is, I don't know if they believe they're going to make the playoffs, but they believe that this is still a good team and a team that is underachieving. I really hope they're not in buy mode ahead of the April 12th trade deadline, but I do wonder if they sell off a couple of assets, and I wonder if they, you know, say, well, you know what, we're probably not going to make it. If we go on a run, we go on a run. But I don't think anything that they do between any result between now and Monday, April 12th, I don't believe that should change the way that they approach this trade deadline. I think that they have to go into it knowing that it's slim to none, that they're going to the playoffs, and they have to make bigger picture, not tied to this season moves for this organization. So, yeah, could they make it? Sure. Could they go 5-0 against the Habs and make a big swing there? Sure they could. Is that likely to happen? No, it's not. And it would be so short-sighted to not make glaringly obvious moves before the trade deadline for the 1.8% chance that they could get into the playoffs. That just seems like poor asset management. So it's going to be real interesting next 11 days or so here.
Well, hopefully it's a good game tomorrow night. I mean, they've been, they haven't all been close games because the Oilers have blown them out twice. But the other four have been split 2-2.
Did you see the 7-1 and 7-3 game?
I forgot about the previous 7 goal game by the Oilers. I'm sorry, they're all blending together. Hey Pat, thanks for checking in, man. And we'll do this down the road. It's going to be an interesting team to follow, and we still have some BOAs between now and the end of the regular season. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Raider. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you very much. That is Pat Steinberg, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, host of the Flames broadcasts on that very station. And yeah, it's tough. It's really tough right now for Calgary. They're going to need a miracle to get into the postseason. Probably not going to happen. It is 7:20. You can chime in on the CertainTeed hotline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
780-496-0063. CertainTeed professional grade building materials. There's a place up ahead and I'm going just as fast as my feet. Well, so the Oilers back home for just one game. They had the long road trip where they only wound up playing three times. They were hoping to have two this weekend, but Saturday's game against the Vancouver Canucks postponed with two Canucks players and one coach in COVID protocol. So it's Calgary tomorrow and then right back on the road to play in Montreal on Monday, Ottawa Wednesday and Friday. Dave Tippett, though, head coach of the team, happy to be back at Rogers Place for practice today.
Hope we got us back some energy, just some, I don't know if it was so much physical energy, but mental energy. You go on the road for that long and you're kind of locked in a hotel. It wears on you a little bit. So hopefully we got home and got a little energy back. We had a good practice today. So hopefully that we get some of that zip back in our game that we were missing the last game.
Well, they were pretty much missing zip, zap, zoop. Whap, pow, bam, everything from their game on Tuesday against the Montreal Canadiens. They sounded like a Batman comic strip there for a second. Okay, we got the 7:30 news and weather coming up. I can tell you that the Montreal Canadiens now up 4-1 on the Ottawa Senators. That is late in the third period. Brendan Gallagher has his 14th of the season for the Habs, so Montreal is going to get the win there. The Oilers in fourth place when you go by points percentage, and Montreal is going to sneak ahead a little further. And I've been using the points percentage more than the points because the games played is always so uneven. And maybe if they can't reschedule all these games, they could wind up doing that to determine the standings at the end of the year. We will check in a little bit with the AJHL and the Sherwood Park Crusaders. Their GM and head coach Adam Manna is coming up, and we're going to introduce you to a new member of the Inside Sports team before 8:00 tonight as well. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. All right, so the Canadiens have finished it off, a 4-1 win over the Ottawa Senators. In the second period, Carolina leads Chicago 2-0. Dallas is up 2-1 on Nashville. Late in the third, Red Wings and Panthers are tied 2-2. The Lightning have beaten the Blue Jackets 3-2. Braden Point, two goals in that game. He now has 15 on the season. With about 2 minutes left, the Islanders with a 7-4 lead on the Washington Capitals. Jordan Eberle has two goals. He's up to 13 now. The Rangers beat the Sabres in overtime. The Sabres tied it at 19:56 of the third period. Tage Thompson tied it up. But then Zibanejad wins it with 28 seconds left in overtime. Well, I'll tell you what, the Sabres are unbeaten in two. They're 1-0-1. Unbeaten in regulation. Penguins leading the Bruins 4-1. That is late in the third period. The Blue Jays started their season today. They won in New York 3-2 in 10 innings over the Yankees. We had Sebastian Kosa on the show earlier, goaltender for the Oil Kings. They're in Red Deer tomorrow. Oilers and Flames tomorrow night on 6:30 Chet. It is a 5:30 face-off show, and the game will start at 7, and then no game on Saturday. It has been postponed. Lee from Wainwright writes in. He says, how come more people aren't talking about who has more goals this year, Taylor Hall or Adam Larson? Great one-for-one deal. I think Lee has his tongue very firmly in his cheek there. But tough year for Taylor Hall. And, yes, I do not think that Taylor Hall is going to be traded to the Oilers anytime soon. A couple of people asking about that. Okay. 780-496-0063. That's also the CertainTeed hotline, and that's where we go right now. I am pleased to welcome to the show the GM and head coach of the Sherwood Park Crusaders, Adam Manna, is on the line. Adam, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, one thing many things I enjoy about my job, but this is one of them, looking back on someone's Hockey DB page, because, you know, a lot of times a name rings a bell, or just from working in the sports industry, you know, you hear a lot of names or you might meet somebody along the way and then you can't always place them. But again, this is cool for me because I run into so many people I would have seen play in the AJHL when I was in Lloydminster, where I was from 2000 to 2007. So I would have seen you make several trips to Lloydminster, first as a member of the Fort Saskatchewan Traders and then as a member of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons.
I had no idea, honestly. But yeah, that takes me back to some of the good old junior days there. And it still seems fresh, even though it's, I guess, what now? 13 years out, so yeah, it's flown by in a hurry, that's for sure.
Let everybody know, what kind of a player were you, and also what you did beyond the AJHL, playing-wise?
Once I got to the AJHL level, I was kind of more of a, you know, steady, reliable, 200-foot guy. I could score. I roughly put up, you know, 10 to 20 goals a year. So I could chip in. I could chip in productive, you know, production-wise that way, and then I could also set them up. But I wasn't a guy that lit up the league or that torched it by any means. I was just again taking pride in playing good defensively, being good in the faceoff circle, and again, kind of was a tweener between being a top six guy and then a top nine guy. So. But again, took a lot of pride in just playing a good overall game and then playing hard. I mean, I was a smaller guy back in the day there. And in those days, I mean, it was the clutch and grab, hard to play against type of days for the little guys. And I think nowadays with the way the game is, it probably would have helped me a little bit more. Back then you just kind of had to survive and find a way to, take a little bit of the beating or brunt from the bigger guys. So, I mean, my face has a few scars on it from back in the day, whether it was pucks, hits, elbows, anything that kind of caught the 5'6" guy going across the ice. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I was fortunate enough to win one league championship in Fort Mac there in 05-06. And had a lot of good coaching in Fort Saskatchewan and Fort McMurray, obviously with Court Thibodeau, and a lot of good memories that I look back on now and apply to the coaching side of things. But after I finished in the AJ, it does have me. I think on Hockey TV it has me down as playing one game for Nate, but I actually didn't end up playing. I concentrated on school, and I actually took radio and television arts at Nate. And that was before coaching even kind of came into the picture. So it's kind of a funny little story there. And if I'm going to assume that yourself doesn't know this, but maybe the viewers listening, but I've been calling the play-by-play for the Brick Tournament for the last 10 years. Maybe some of the highlight packages coming up for some of the drafted players. You might end up hearing my voice on one of those games as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know you went to the radio and television. So, well, we have broadcasting in common. We don't have hockey ability or coaching ability in common. That's all you there. So what eventually led you on the path to, you know, coaching and instructing and mentoring and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I always enjoy telling this story. And I'm going to assume that he's not listening right now, but I always bring him into the mix here. I met a fellow named Tino Greco. I was going to the gym at Londonderry back again right after I finished playing. So it would have been while I was in school around 2011. And, he came up to me and we kind of just, you know, chatted at the gym a little bit. And for, you know, him being older than me, he was probably a lot more jacked than I was. so I always gave him a hard time about that. But he was coaching a Pee Wee team at the time at the Knights of Columbus, or KC, I guess, for the abbreviation. And he kind of just said, hey, you know, have you ever thought about coaching? And I was kind of like, I just finished playing. I was concentrating on radio and television arts at Nate and school. And, you know, for the first time, I mean, I had decent marks in high school, but, you know, really wanted to focus on the school side so that I could, you know, I guess graduate with honors for maybe the first time. I was kind of always a, you know, 70 to 75 kid in school. So he basically asked me, and I gave it a go, and he wanted me to come out as just, you know, his assistant coach. And then, you know, probably after maybe four or five practices, he kind of looked at me and said, hey, you have a lot more energy and juice in the tank. Why don't you just take over as the head coach?
And oh, wow.
He gave me that opportunity right off the bat. And, you know, I just fell in love with it, and it's become my passion. I really love what I do, and I'm really thankful that I get to do what I do because I take a lot of pride in it, and I work extremely hard and just to make sure that I'm the best I can be. So far things have worked really well. I guess it's funny how, you know, you go to school for one thing and you kind of think that's your path, and then the coaching side comes up and you end up going down that path instead. So that's kind of why I'm fortunate to do both. Obviously coaching is the number one, but then I get to still do my second passion in the summer at the Brick Tournament as well.
Well, and I think Locker Talk on NR92 with Brendan Ulrich was a really good show as well, who's in our sales department. So that's pretty awesome.
That's funny that you mentioned that because I would have been in school with Brendan at the time.
Yeah, he's texting me saying, I went to school with Adam. And, of course, Brendan used to work in our sports department, and now he's in our sales department and a good friend of mine for sure. Adam Manor joining us on Inside Sports. Sherwood Park Crusaders GM and head coach, talking a little bit about his journey over the last 12 years or so from playing in the AJ to now coaching and managing in the AJ. Hey, look, man, I got to ask, and I know, you know, I've seen some updates on your website and with the AJHL. Just how is the league dealing with COVID? How are you navigating being able to finish this season and getting in as many games as you can?
Well, again, it kind of goes back to we're pretty thankful to be playing right now. I mean, obviously, minor hockey is allowed to practice, but they're not playing any games. So for us in the Western Hockey League, it's we're very fortunate that we get to play. I mean, the process for us, and I don't think it's any different with, I guess, in the Western Hockey League, they're getting tested every day. But for us, we're getting tested once a week on Wednesdays. And our league has done a really good job in terms of getting all that coordinated through DynaLife, making sure that, we have a nurse on site that can help administer the tests. And then, the results come back to us within, not even 12 hours of taking them. So everything has been really smooth, to be honest with you. And again, that's a lot of credit goes to our league in terms of getting everything structured and organized with the government of Alberta and just making sure that we could return to play safely. And luckily for us, the Crusaders, we haven't had anything come up so far. We had a little bit of a scare last weekend within our cohort of us in Bonneville, but it was it ended up being a false positive. So that player was retested two more times and tested negative, and then we were able to play on Sunday. So everything has been really good, and the precautions have been taken, and you know, one thing I can say for sure is that the kids are having fun being back at the rink, and they're really enjoying playing again.
All right, and I don't want to put you in a tough spot here, but there was a report last week about BC forming its own Junior A league and trying to poach teams from Alberta. Everybody I talked to said that is not anywhere near happening, and there might be challenges for Junior A hockey, but I do want to get it from someone who's employed in the league. Like, everything's intact. There's, you know, it's always tough to, you know, it's not a billion-dollar business where people are making money hand over fist, but that's any talk about outlaw leagues or things like that are premature at best, shall we say.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I don't really have too much to give you on that end, other than it's totally false. So, I mean, everybody in the league has you know, stated that, well, the league does a great job. I mean, our commissioner, Ryan Martoshek, along with everybody else involved within the league, has done a really good job. And I don't, you know, there's absolutely no teams looking to leave. And we got it pretty good here in Alberta and within the Alberta Junior Hockey League.
Yeah. Well, Adam, thanks for telling your story a bit. You know, I'm glad I still can talk a lot about the AJHL on this show, because that was a big section of my career, and it's cool running into people like you who played in it and were successful in it and now are still involved with the league and helping it continue to grow and be successful. So thanks for checking in. All the best with the crew. Going to keep an eye on you guys and, of course, all the teams in the AJ. Really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot, Reed.
That is Adam Manna on the show, Sherbrooke's general manager and head coach. So, you know, he mentioned they had a false positive, had to rearrange some games, but they're sticking with it. Our Brendan Escott, who's the producer of Bob Stauffer's show, Oilers Now, is the play-by-play voice for the Crusaders, and he often keeps you updated with what's going on there, too. So hopefully it continues to be a season that the AJHL can get through and they can crown a champion when all is said and done. I mentioned the Oilers did practice today. Alex Stalock, it's been a month since he was claimed off waiver from the Minnesota Wild. He was on the ice today. Head coach Dave Tippett on Stalock.
Well, we'll see where he gets to. He's, you know, he's got good NHL experiences. That's why we picked him up. We like him, but, you know, he hasn't played all year, and Schwartz, he's done a good job of getting him up and going. He's looked like he's coming around, but he hasn't played in a long time. So it's not as if you can throw him in an exhibition game and then get going. So It'll be up to Schwartzy and just see where he thinks his game's at, and try to get the best evaluation you can out of practice. And if we think he deserves a start, you know, you never know. But right now, the two guys we feel comfortable with the two guys going. But we'll see what happens with Stalock. If he gets up and going, you never know.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Rob and I have talked about him. If he's healthy, I would think he's going to get a game at some point. He's certainly going to want to play. But remember, Stalock is also under contract for next season. And so that could affect how the Oilers manage their goaltending going forward. You're going to find out a little bit more about Alex Stalock in a brand new segment called Michael's Minute, coming up when we get back. All right, thanks a lot for tuning into Inside Sports. We really appreciate you tuning in tonight, and we have a new segment and a new contributor on the show. He is our Inside Sports stats specialist. His name is Michael Karsmaker. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, Reed. I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome aboard. Great to have you as part of the show. Before we jump into who you're going to be focusing on tonight, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Michael.
Well, thanks, Reed. I'm great to join the team. I am a sports fanatic. So I love the Edmonton Oilers. I love the Edmonton football team. And I love digging into the stats. And I'm going to give you some good stats tonight.
Okay. Well, this is going to be good, because we're going to talk a little bit about Alex Stalock. I was at practice today. He was on the ice as the third goaltender. It's been a month since the Oilers claimed him off waivers. Tell me a little bit about his journey here to become an Oiler.
Sure. So Alex Stalock is 33 years old. He has played for two teams in his NHL career. He's played for the San Jose Sharks, and he's also played for his hometown, the Minnesota Wild. And his best year was last year when he played 36 games. He won 20, lost 11. His save percentage was .910, and his goals against average was 2.67.
Yeah, he was pretty important to the Wild last year for sure. Well, we'll keep an eye on him for sure, Michael. And we appreciate you checking in. I look forward to your visits on the show here. Welcome aboard, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, and have a good weekend.
Will do. That is Michael Karsmaker, and that is Michael's Minute. Brand new segment we got for you on Inside Sports. It's been awesome to get to know Michael over the last few weeks and have him contribute to the show, and you'll be hearing him from time to time. Great energy, great sports fan, great Edmontonian, and a welcome addition to the team here on Inside Sports. That was good stuff. I can also tell you Connor McDavid, who you may have heard of, is the NHL's North Division Star of the Month for March. All he did in March was have 23 points in 14 games. The Oilers went 8-5-1 in the month of March, and they're going to be back at it tomorrow against the Calgary Flames. It's 5:30 for the faceoff show. It's 7 o'clock for the drop of the puck. No Oilers game on Saturday now. The game against the Canucks has been postponed. We got a couple of Canucks players. We got a Canucks coach in the NHL's COVID protocol, so that game will not be played. As a matter of fact, the Canucks had yesterday's game postponed, a couple other games against Winnipeg coming up postponed. They are expected, if all goes well, to be back in action on, well, a week from today, Thursday, April 8th. All right, let's just run through the scoreboard here before we got to sign off. Penguins beat the Bruins 4-1. Rangers get by the Sabres 3-2 in overtime. How about this? The Islanders over the Capitals 8-4. Matthew Barzal with a hat trick now has 13 goals on the season. Jordan Eberle scored twice. He also has 13 goals. The Lightning hold off the Blue Jackets for a 3-2 win. Braden Point got the game winner. Panthers win in overtime, 3-2 against the Red Wings. Wenberg with the game-winning goal, 1:25 into the extra session. Panthers doing really well this season. Montreal gets the win, 4-1 over Ottawa. After two periods, it's the Hurricanes with a 2-1 lead on the Blackhawks. And start of the third period now, Dallas leading Nashville 2-1, and still a game to come in about 40 minutes. It's going to be the Wild taking on the Golden Knights. The Toronto Blue Jays are 1-0. The journey has started for them. They get a 3-2, 10-inning win over the New York Yankees. All right. Hey, it's Leopard. It's a good band. Well, I'll tell you what. Have a happy Easter. Obviously, things are different. They've been different for a while. But, of course, I wish you a happy Easter or whatever it is you celebrate. If you get a long weekend, I hope you can enjoy it. If you got to work, hey, you got to work. You'll be fine. Hope you can check out our Oilers broadcast tomorrow night and then another one on Monday. Dave Campbell is the producer of Inside Sports. Brendan Escott lent a hand this week as well because Dave's on holidays. Kellen Kennedy is the studio operator. My name's Reed. Have a pleasant evening. I'll talk to you at 5:30 tomorrow for the Faceoff Show. And don't forget, Stoff's got a live edition of Oilers Now from noon to 2. Take care, everybody.
Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chad.